This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast coming to you from Richmond Park, where Shells have extended their lead at the top of the table to 5 points thanks to a 2-1 victory against St. Pat's. Will Jarvis with 2 goals for Shells. St. Pat's pulled one back through Jake Mulraney, but it wasn't enough. Kenny scored late on for Shamrock Rovers as they beat Galway United by 1-0. We'll be hearing from Eamon DC Park shortly. We'll also go to Oriel Park, where Dundalk drew 0-0 with Waterford. Owen Heary was watching Bowes and Derry. Bowes winning by 2-1. What a big win for them. In the First Division, Cork City 2-0 winners against Bray Wanderers. Kerry 1-0 with Cove Ramblers. UCD 3-0 victors against Athlone. And Wexford Town 1, Finn Harps 2, a final score. The Shelburne fans still singing here in Richmond Park. And why wouldn't they? It may be St. Patrick's weekend, but Keith Tracy, it certainly wasn't St. Patrick's night.
No, I think Damien Duff will be absolutely delighted with how his Shelburne team have gone about it. For 70 minutes, they've come to Inchicore at this Dublin Derby, and they were the better team. The last 20 minutes, Pats up the tempo, they got a goal, they started putting some dangerous balls into the box. But for 70 minutes, O'Shane, they were largely very, very comfortable, Shelburne. Pats' build-up play was really slow, really methodical, no imagination to it. And like I say, Shelburne too comfortable, as I said. Damien Duff will be over the moon with how they've come here and they've competed. The recovery runs were really, really quick. And, you know, we can see the whole pitch here. When Pats would win the ball and they try and spring forward, the Shelburne players were matching, if not outrunning the Pats players. So fitness levels for Shelburne are through the roof. Look really, really strong at the minute.
Talk me through their 2 goals. Will Jarvis with 2 really well-taken goals, but he had so much time and space for both of them.
Yeah, and look, I think Freeman obviously getting a yellow card early on in the game and being left for dead once or twice by Jarvis, I think, was in the back of his head, because the space he gets for the 2 goals, it's acres. At this level, O'Shane, you're going to get hurt. You've got to get down the line of it. And I understand he's on a yellow card and he doesn't want to dive in, but as I say, you can do things to manipulate him into certain areas where your mate can come and help you to be that standoffish and give him the freedom of the box. He can go down the wing, he can take the shot off. Just wasn't good enough all over. When Soybeare come on, he did a little bit better, but it wasn't long before he got a yellow card himself, so he then had to be a little bit less aggressive in his defending.
You can tell me if I'm being fair or unfair, accurate or inaccurate. St. Pat seems slow and laboured again tonight. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, I think, again, for the first 70 minutes, slow, laboured. You know, Shelburne were pressing them really well, but they were pressing them. It wasn't a full court press, it was more of a half court press. Shelburne were happy putting them into areas. And Shelburne didn't have to work that hard out of possession because the build-up play from Pats was so slow. And when Shelburne did win it back with Sean Boyd up front, you just throw a ball up to him, he takes it in, holds the ball up, and they can transition out of being a defensive team, transition into being an attacking team because of Sean Boyd being such a good target man.
Can St. Pat's get out of this funk? Four losses from six games.
Four losses from six games. They've only had three home games. This is their third home game, O'Shane, and they were really disappointed against Bowes. Let the game drift for long periods, and then they got the sucker punch of the penalty late on against Dundalk. The performance was a lot better, but still, it wasn't a 90-minute performance. Felt like there was a little bit more to come, and they've let themselves down again here tonight. Although, I do give Shelburne an awful lot of credit, but Pats weren't really at the races tonight.
Let's get carried away. Just 6 games in, can Shells win the league?
Can they win the league? My initial answer would be no. I don't think so. I think with Europe coming and the games, they're going to be awfully stretched, and the squad they have is really, really good. When you look at the bench, maybe the levels come down ever so slightly when they get one or two injuries, but so exciting. Europe to come, top of the league after 6 games. Damien Duff is doing an incredible job with that squad,
and all the subs and lads who didn't get to play are down under us here in the TV gantry. And none of them look like they're getting carried away. They don't look like they've just got a big win in a Dublin derby. I gave the thumbs up to Shane Farrell, and out of politeness, he acknowledged it and gave me a thumbs up back. But it wasn't like he doesn't have a big beaming smile on his face or anything. None of them do. That's telling, isn't it?
No, it's very hard to get carried away. I've listened to Damien Duff last week when he had their 13 points, and he said, "We're here, we've 13 points. And it's just brilliant because the man has been done everything. He knows what he's talking about, and he won't let them get carried away. They seem like a really honest bunch of lads. The work rate they have is spectacular, and it's all because of the manager. I don't think anybody will fancy playing the Shelburne team.
Okay, Keith Tracy, thanks very much for joining us here in Richmond Park, where we have seen Shells get a 2-1 victory against St. Pat's. You are listening to the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast. You're listening to the Shells fans singing. We're going to go over to the other side of the ground and get some reaction now from both managers. And Well, that'll be in a few minutes' time for me as I talk to you live. But to you, it's coming up right this very second.
John Daly, St Pat's manager. Unfortunately, a 2-1 defeat here to Shelburne at Richmond Park. What are your thoughts on the game?
Obviously disappointed to lose. I think the goals we gave away were poor goals. Probably Shelburne looking at it as good goals on their part. But we knew what Jarvis would do. He's obviously very right-footed. We'd much rather him go on the outside. And we opened up the goal for him and allowed him two kind of free shots to pass into the goal, which was disappointing. And it was, again, something we highlighted at half-time about nullifying that. So it's disappointing. It's disappointing to concede goals in that manner. But what I will say is I thought the reaction to that, I thought it was very good from the players. I thought the intensity that they went at to try and get themselves back in the game, we get a really good goal. And then just unfortunately we couldn't manufacture that other chance to create the next goal.
You didn't create too many chances tonight. Is that frustrating, A, and B, why is that?
I don't think many teams create many chances against Shelburne, to be honest with you. The way they defend very deep. We obviously got Paddy and Malloy in there that stick their head on crosses and block shots. There was a lot of block shots and a lot of bodies between us and the goal. So we spoke about trying to have a calmness and trying to create that, play that extra pass to try and open something up. But credit to Shelburne, they defend very well, and I think they do that. They do that, especially when they go ahead. I'm sure there's other managers have spoken about that in the past, about when they go ahead, they're very difficult to claw back. And we managed to get one back and just couldn't, as I said, manufacture that next chance to get us back level.
I know it's tough when teams drop deep, but there's times where you seem to have a lot of possession, but maybe not much incision. Do you need to up the pace, up the intensity, maybe go a bit more direct, try and get more crosses in? How do you see it?
I think we put plenty of crosses in the box tonight. I think, as I said, Paddy and Gavin Malloy won a lot of headers. We probably need to time our movement a bit better across them rather than behind them. But look, it's obviously disappointing. We're obviously well aware of where we're at and what we need to do, and we need to start picking up points. And I don't think, I don't think the performance, I don't think there was an awful lot in the game, to be honest with you. You might say differently. But I didn't think there was an awful lot in it. Just two moments from Jarvis where we kind of stood off and backed off and didn't dictate to him where he should go. He was in control of the situation.
Has the break come at a good time or a bad time now, or would you rather just get back out there as soon as you can?
Yeah, you obviously want the games to come around as quickly as possible. You don't want to be having a break, but it gives us time to do a bit of work and to make sure that when we come to draw it in the next game, we're ready to go and hopefully pick up them 3 points.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Damien Duff, Shelburne manager, you must be delighted with the win and the performance.
Delighted with a lot of aspects, I guess. Obviously with the win, the most important thing. Not so delighted with other things, not trying to ruin the lads' weekend, but I told them that after the game. But here to come to Inchicore and come away with 3 points, magnificent.
What was the difference?
Here, they have top quality players on the pitch. I think Mulroney gets the goal. And like I touched on before the game, we have top quality players on the pitch. I think people are quick to forget that, and up steps Will Jarvis. Yeah, there's a lot of great performances in the team, but he scored two absolute wonder goals, so you could argue it was him.
They were fantastic finishes, but equally impressive was maybe the speed of attack and the ability to get the ball to him in space, just the moves to create those goals.
Yeah, I'm not going to take any credit for anything like that. The lads worked the ball up the pitch, made the right passes, counter-attacked with real speed, and we obviously got, I think that was the second goal from it. So that's his quality, we know about it. But on top of Will, especially defensively again, I think there was a lot of brilliant performances. I think we allowed them back in the game the last 30 minutes, poor goal, not getting out of our box, and didn't keep the ball well enough last 30 minutes to get us back up the pitch and back into the game. But here we weathered the storm, and a brilliant win, and regardless of what anyone says on the ground, a deserved win.
Yeah, I don't think anyone could argue with that. Your centre-back pairing of Malloy and Barrett, the ball looked like it was a magnet to them. Now, that's not an accident. The lads read it really well. You must be very satisfied with how they're performing as a pairing.
Yeah, amazing. Across the back line tonight, obviously Tyreek took him off with a yellow card. Gano as well, what a sign him. But yeah, listen, Paddy, Gav, they do amazing work along with the rest of the defenders on Tuesdays. they always say Tuesdays is the hardest day of the week. That's our work day, and they do get peppered with crosses, etc., off Joe. And listen, you can coach all day long. Joey's a world-class coach, absolutely amazing. Sometimes you just have to smell it as well, and Gav and Paddy are just absolute magnets.
I know you're not getting carried away. I think last week you said 13 points, woohoo. It's now 16 points. I'm not sure if you'll add the woohoo, but it's a nice place to be going into the international break, I'd imagine. Top of the league in five clear.
Is it five? Yeah, I haven't even looked at the league table, which would tell you my line of thinking of it. Yeah, okay. So it's absolutely irrelevant. We've all been around the game long enough. It's where are you going to be in 15, 25 games, round four games. So brilliant win. Park it. We've given them an extra day off because of such an amazing start. That doesn't mean we're getting carried away. I don't think anyone works harder than us. So it's a day off, extra day off, because they probably need the rest. And for certain, they need a break from me and the staff.
Will you take a break over the bank holiday weekend?
Probably not, but here. I like working.
I'm sure you do. You're good at it too, judging by the results so far this season. Damien, well done.
Cheers, thank you.
This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast, and that is all the reaction from Richmond Park, where St. Pat's lost 2-1 to Shells. Now, I'm re-recording this part of the podcast specifically on Saturday morning, because while he didn't mention it in his interview with me on LOI TV, Damien Duff did tell the written and online press that one of his staff was racially abused. And, well, we all know it, don't we? There is no room for racial abuse or any kind of abuse in football, and it's just something that is very, very wrong. Right, let's move on to Dalyman Park, where Bowes got a 2-1 win against Derry City. Watching that one for us was former Bowes player and indeed manager, Owen Heary. Owen, what kind of game was it?
Hi, O'Shane. Yeah, it was a cagey game in terms of Bowes. You know, after losing their manager during the week, you could see that they had the bit between their teeth. They were pressing hard, you know, defensively, got good shape about them. Derry, for that matter, had a lot of the ball in the first half. You know, didn't create too many chances, but had a lot of possession and sort of pinned Bowes back. But in the game itself, Bowes defensively fairly sound. Derry probably kicking themselves that he didn't do more with the possession that they had.
We'll get to the goals in just a moment, but I heard Rory Higgins say after the game that he wasn't that dissatisfied with how his team performed. And in fact, they got into better positions and more of them in this game than they had done in their previous five this season. Can they consider themselves unlucky not to have taken something from the game?
No, I don't think they were unlucky, O'Shane. I think that, like Rory said, they had a lot of possession, didn't create too many chances. Obviously, the goal is the killer, the first goal and the killer in the game. But, you know, he's probably right that he got into good positions. But, again, as I said, it didn't create too much. But there was a few wayward passes from them. Bowes looked nervy at the start, you know, passing-wise. But as I said, they looked had a bit of hunger about them to close down. And I think Rory said during the week he was expecting a reaction from Bowes, and he certainly got it last night.
Talk me through the goals. Akintunde got the second, Rooney got the first, and Derry managed to get one back through Boyce.
Yeah, O'Shane, the goal totally against the run of play, the first goal. Ball over the top. Derry in control of it. Todd had the ball at his feet. And for some reason, he tried to play it back to the keeper with the outside of his left foot. You know, left the short, Dale Rooney got on it. He's plenty of time to think of where he's putting any corner to the far left-hand side of the goal. Great finish. And, you know, as I said, against the run of play, but a good start by Bowes. Second goal, it's actually Bowes' first corner in the game, late in the second half. It looked like he didn't put a good ball in, but took a deflection, and Akintunde was there just to deflect it towards goal and went in 2-0, gave Bowes a bit of a, you know, comfortable situation that they were 2-0 up. Didn't have to panic then. Defensively, they were very good. You know, and then Derry pulls one back from a great strike from about 25 yards out. And then a lot of pressure comes from Derry after that, but nothing that troubled the keeper as such. Like. So, I think overall, Bowes deservedly got 3 points last night and, you know, move up the table, but he'll have to build on this now. They can't just get the reaction because a manager is gone. They need to take it into the big Dublin derby against Rovers.
And finally, Owen, how vital is it that Bowes move very quickly to get a new manager in place? And look, I could be completely off the mark here, but do you think it would be a good move to get Stephen Kenny?
Well, I think it's vital that they get a manager in now. I mean, we're only 5 games into the season, so it gives them plenty of time to work with the squad over the next while and go up the table. I mean, Europe has to be the priority for Bowes this year after missing out last year through the league and through the cup final. So
it would be great to see Stephen there. Of course, like he's a high profile manager. His last gig was the Ireland gig. He's plenty of experience around the League of Ireland. He's been at Bowls before, so he knows the backroom staff, and not the backroom staff, but the board and the fans there. So yeah, it could be a good move. You know, we'll have to wait and see, but there is other options there as well, and I'm sure Bowls will take their time and you know, do the due diligence and get someone in quickly.
A bit of a shock at Daly Mount Park. Let's see how the Derry City manager Rory Higgins viewed it. Afterwards, he spoke to Drive 105.
Aye, two poor goals, and when you come away from home, you can't give up goals like that, because then it becomes really, really difficult, and that's what it became. But I still felt that we could get something out of the game, even at 2-0, and we definitely in the second half we were the aggressors. We were the team who looked like they would go and score goals. But listen, I can't fault the players' drive and effort. They go and get a result out of the game, but just the goals and the manner of them have cost us tonight. Honestly, I think it's probably the most we've got into the final third in any game this season. And we just let ourselves down. We get in there. There was moments, there was flashes, but there wasn't enough given the control and the dominance we had, particularly second half.
This is the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast, and that is all the reaction from Daly Mount Park, where Bowls overcame Derry by 2-1. Let's go to Eamon DC Park, where Shamrock Rovers took on Galway United. A late goal settling this one. ExtraTime.com's Paul Corcoran was there, and afterwards sent us this voice note.
Galway United actually started out the brighter of the two sides in the opening 10 minutes, particularly Ed McCarthy, who worried the Rovers' defence with a number of mazy runs. Roberto Lopez even picking up a yellow with a late challenge in the 5th minute. Graham Burke tested Brendan Clark from the edge of the box with a venomous shot in the 16th minute, but the experienced netminder was on hand to make the save. The visitors were in again in the 23rd minute when a nice ball over the defence found Graham Burke. There was a moment of confusion between Alam and Kazim, making his first start for Galway United tonight, and Brendan Clark, which led the goalkeeper sprawling on the ground. But Kazim recovered well to put in a strong challenge to deny the Ireland international an easy goal. John Caulfield actually went to a substitute bench on the half-hour mark to make a tactical change as he sprung A. Dervin from the bench, with Carlos Sullivan coming off. The home side were containing Shamrock Rovers well for the first 20 minutes of the second half, but the visitors had a good chance when Dylan Watts landed a corner ball into the box, with Killingbrother just getting to the ball in time to flick it away. The ball then fell to Roberto Lopez, but Clark denied the defender's goal. With 10 minutes to go, Stephen Walsh went close, just inches wide from a David Hurley free kick, but disaster struck for the home side just 4 minutes later when the visitors were ahead. A long ball from Dylan Watts found Dara Burns, who took the ball to the end line before squaring it into the path of substitute Johnny Kenny, who drilled the ball into the back of the net for his first goal of the season. And that's how it remained for the rest of the game. Final score here in AMTC Park, Galway United 0, Shamrock Rovers 1.
The Sligo man scoring against Galway for Shamrock Rovers. Shamrock Rovers getting the victory there. Let's go to Oriel Park, where Dundalk were taking on Waterford. ExtraTime.com's Tom O'Connor was there, and afterwards, guess what he did? Oh, you know at this stage. He sent us this voice note.
Hi, Oisin, Tom O'Connor here from a bitterly cold Oriel Park as Dundalk and Waterford played out a scoreless draw. For Dundalk, this was their first clean sheet of the campaign and followed on the back of successive defeats, at first at home to both Galway and Sligo Rovers, before travelling to Inchicore for a narrow 1-0 defeat with a much improved performance last weekend. Out went the experienced duo of Daryl Horgan and Andy Boyle. Into their place came defender and debutant Zach Johnson, while on the wing, Sam Durant, after a number of impressive cameos for the Lady Whites, made his first league start of the campaign. For the visitors, Waterford, it was also two replacements, with the suspended Dara Leahy, an ex-Lily White, been replaced by another former Lily White in the shape of Robbie McCourt, while Harvey McAdam came into the side also. The opening exchanges saw Dundalk on top, with visiting goalkeeper Sam Sargent having to be in his best to repel a Robbie Benson effort, while as the half drew to a close, it was his counterpart Ross Munro and his left shin pad who denied the informed Pádraig Amond. A left wing cross from Conor Parsons was expertly headed downwards by the Carlovian, but despite his rich vein of form, he was foiled by the Scottish goalkeeper. Second half, again, both sides came out. A couple of half chances for both sides. It was the best chance came late in the second half when Cameron Elliott, who had come on as a sub for the injured Jamie Gullen, found space inside the Waterford penalty area, but again was fouled by the outstretched arm of Sam Sargent, who again, similar to Ross Munro in the Dundalk goal, both goalkeepers recorded their first league shutout of the campaign. So from a bitterly cold Oriel Park, it has finished Dundalk 0, Waterford 0 as we head into the international break.
Well, that's almost it for the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast from here in Richmond Park. Let's just run you through the full times yet again. Bowes 2, Derry City 1, Dundalk 0, Waterford 0, Galway United 0, Shamrock Rovers 1 and St Pat's 1, Shelburne 2. In the first division, Cork City overcame Bray Wanderers 2-0. Kerry and Cove Ramblers drew 1-1 in Mount Hawk Park. UCD 3, Athlone Town 0, a full-time score. And Wexford losing 2-1 at home to Finn Harps. On Saturday in the Premier Division, Sligo Rovers hosting Drogheda. Kickoff is at 7:45. It's live on Ocean FM. LMFM will also have online commentary and you can watch it on LOI TV. In the first division, Longford Town take on Treaty United. In the Women's Premier Division on Saturday, Bowes meet Athlone, Shamrock Rovers take on Wexford, Galway United play Cork City, Piemont meet Shelburne and Treaty United are up against DLR Waves. Let's just remind you of how the table looks. Shelburne in the Premier Division, this is. Shelburne on top on 16 points, Derry second on 11 points, Waterford third on 8 points, Galway fourth on 7 points, Bowes also on 7 points, they're in fifth, Sligo Rovers sixth on 6 points. A win will put them second against Drogheda if they can get that win. That's tonight, Saturday. Shamrock Rovers 7th on 6 points, St Pat's 8th on 6 points, Drogheda 9th on 4 points and Dundalk bottom of the table on 2 points. A win for Drogheda away to Sligo would put them level on points with 4th place and 5th place Bohemians. First division wise, how does the table look? Cork City on top on 13 points, Treaty 2nd on 10 points, but they have that game in hand tonight if you're listening on Saturday, away to Longford. Finn Harps 3rd on 10 points, UCD 4th on 6 points, Cove Ramblers 5th on 5 points, Athlone Town 6th on 5 points, Bray Wanderers 7th on 4 points, Wexford 8th on 3 points, Kerry 2nd from bottom on 2 points, they're in 9th position, and Longford, who've only played 2 games to be fair, bottom on no points. Right, that's almost it for the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland Voice Notes podcast, coming to you from on the pitch in Richmond Park. If you can, like and subscribe and give us a positive review. It all helps. Luke Jordan will be along with a deep dive into the League of Ireland on Tuesday or Wednesday. That's the ExtraTime.com League of Ireland podcast, so check that out. And of course, you can read all about the games that we cover and have covered over the weekend and will cover over the rest of the weekend, again, if you're listening on Saturday, on ExtraTime.com. You can follow me via at Oisin Langan and you can follow Extra Time on at Extra Time News. That's it from Richmond Park. Shell's 5 points clear at the top. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great St. Patrick's weekend.